Nocturne Till 6 with Ian Nocturne on WLRFM.
But now, unions representing health service executive workers are continuing to assess the practicalities involved in the redundancy and early retirement programme they announced yesterday. €400 million it's scheduled to cost, and refund around 5,000 staff leaving the HSE. The HSE wants them to go by the end of the year. Those interested must apply for the scheme by the 19th of November. So, if the government feels there's room for 5,000 to leave the HSE, what about other departments? What about social welfare? What about education? What about finance? What about agriculture? Well, joining us now on the line is Eamon Blaney. Eamon's a columnist with the Sunday Independent and also the man behind cringefactor.com. More about that in just a while, but let's talk to him now. Eamon, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Ian.
So, Eamon, you think 5,000 is too low. You think we could do 100,000 from the public sector. That's a bit over the top, isn't
it? Well, I don't know about doing the numbers in terms of the figures of people who need to be let go from the public service, but I think what we'd be very cognizant about is, relatively speaking, I mean, you're talking about 4% of the HSE is what we're talking about, the 5,000.
Okay.
And in the private sector, for example, there's about 1.5 million people in the private sector. 500,000 of them are unemployed, which is 33% who have lost their jobs, who have been made redundant. You know, they didn't get a handshake. A lot of times the companies went out, couldn't even pay them statutory redundancy. And, you know, a third, that's 33% of those people in the private workforce as such, have lost their jobs, their livelihoods, they're in negative equity, and they're in the trouble.
Okay,
that
but Eamon, you know, over the course of the Celtic Tiger, the private sector was the place to work in terms of the higher wages. Is this not just, you know, fair game at this stage? The people in the public sector decided to stay in there and take what were not as well paid jobs as were available in the private sector, and this is the payback time.
Well, you could. I don't know about payback time. I mean, we have to remember, Ian, that, I mean, this is a country. Ireland is not just like a dot on a map with Ireland written on it. Ireland is us, you and me, everybody who's listening to this station. We are what Ireland is.
Yes.
We have to define as a group of people what are our values, what matters to us, what makes us different, if anything at all. But all I can see is that we have seemed to have a very strong sense of entitlement in some shape or form. And people in the public service, I mean, I know what it's like to lose your job, to be made redundant, to be broke, to be on the dole. I know what it's like. I'm living it every day of the week for the last couple of years. It's not easy. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But the harsh reality is that the last election, the last third historic term in office for Fianna Fáil, you know, when a lot of us were saying, please don't vote for these people because they're not competent, a lot of people went, you know what, I'm doing all right. My company is flying. I can't let in a bunch of left-leaning socialists take over and wreck the economy, so I have to vote Fianna Fáil. That was the thinking. The public service, I mean, there's 400,000-odd who work in the public service.
Yeah.
You know, those 400,000 people, an awful lot of those people are very, very hardworking, and they're on very, very poor salaries as well, relatively speaking.
Yes.
The problem is that the people at the very top of the grade 7s, the 8s, the 9s, or whatever else it is, you know, these are the people who, in majority of cases, have got there through longevity of service, not through any ability to do their job. In any normal private industry, and ask anybody who works in private industry, you normally lose about 5 to 10% of your workforce every single year through natural attrition or through the unsuitability of the people for their jobs. That never happened in the public service.
Okay.
So therefore, you can conclude that there's a lot of people at the very top of the public service who patently do not know what they're doing.
So if you were to see a further cull of jobs in the public service across the various government departments to begin with, you'd be looking to the top, would you, to get rid of the top?
Oh, no, I'd start at the very top, because in any organisation, the people at the bottom, for example, who have to face the public every day of the week and get grief, be they nurses or be they in social welfare offices or be they the Gardaí, the fire people, whatever, teachers, you know, these are getting it in the neck every single day of the week because people are frustrated and they see them as the face of government. The reality is the people who are insulated from all that grief are those who are sitting at the very top on exceedingly high salaries, totally unjustified, on index-linked pensions, defined benefits. You know, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's absurd. They have patently failed in their job. They have been in their jobs for many, many years at very high levels, yet there's 80-year-olds still sitting on trolleys in hospitals. It still happens.
Okay.
Now, if this was the private industry, you'd say, excuse me, you haven't done your job properly, you're fired.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Okay, let's go through a few of the departments, Eamon, that you feel we should remove the upper echelons from. Let's start off with, I suppose, the people who were running the country for the last 10 years and paying out the books. Department of Finance, how do you think they would fare?
Well, you should rename that the Department of History, Economic History. Because I would have thought the purpose of economists, and unless there's just a bunch of bookkeepers in there, and even if they're at that, they're pretty poor, because they can't seem to get any projections right. They didn't see any of the economic meltdown coming, even though people like myself, Dave McWilliams, and lots of others were shouting from the rooftops that it was unsustainable what was going on. They chose to ignore it, and I can only assume that it came from the very top. Mr. Ahern, for example, being the prime example, who bought the public service with benchmarking, using your taxes and mine at the time, to simply guarantee a third historic term in office. Now, the Department of Finance, I don't know what they do in there, but whatever they've been doing, the fact of the matter is the country is now bankrupt. We're on the doors of the IMF, on the steps of the IMF building at this stage, and I think they'll be here by February, or March maybe, depending on the budget and how we react to it as a nation. Now, the Department of Finance, what are they? They don't finance anything, so what are they doing there? How many is in there? What are they costing us? And what is their function? Because if they're just bookkeepers, you know, you could get a bunch of graduates from any of the universities in Ireland who could easily do the figures for us.
And what about other departments then, Eamon? Where else do you feel that we could take more cuts without it affecting the level of service we're providing?
Well, I think you have to really apply, let's say, modern management and organisational change and techniques must be applied to every single department. We have to stop pandering the likes of Impact and the trade unions, who continuously have looked after themselves at the expense of the greater society in which they're supposed to serve. Remember, every public servant is a servant of the public, i.e. the nation of this country. The nation of this country is now bankrupt. Mm. It's not a case of whether we want them in the job or not. The reality is we simply cannot afford to pay them at the high salaries, at anything plus 100 grand. Personally, I wouldn't probably fire anybody from the lower levels, or very few of them. Anybody under 40 grand a year should not be touched under any circumstance and should be left where they are. But like the fact is that they are not delivering the services that respected or expected of them, that we even trusted them to provide. They try in most cases, and certainly nurses and people like that on the front line, any one of those will tell you what's wrong with the health service. You don't need Mary Harney to tell you what's wrong with it. They'll tell you where the waste is. They'll tell you they'll point upwards every single time. They'll point to the committees, the Moore committees, the reports about the reports. You know, this is what goes on incessantly because people are justifying their existence within the public service.
Okay,
any good manager could go in there and run any department a damn sight more effectively than it's been done at the moment because they wouldn't have to take cognizance. As long as the public service cannot be fired effectively, there can never be an efficient public service.
But if you were to remove, I don't know, 20, 30, 40,000 people from the public service, one of the knock-on effects that you're going to have there is that these people then end up on the dole. So they're not only are they not contributing to public life, they're actually going to be, in inverted commas, a liability.
Right. Well, I would much rather pay somebody, I don't know what I get in a year, but it's 196 quid a week. I'd rather pay them 196 quid a week to sit at home and do nothing than pay them possibly 2,500 quid a week plus a defined benefit pension. Well, that's the reality of it. Why are they getting 2,500 grand a week and I'm getting 196? I'm starting a company that will employ people. They're not. They're not doing their jobs. They're not good at their jobs. Like, why doesn't somebody just come out and say the truth? This is the truth. We all know that the system just doesn't work as efficiently as it should. And the reality is because there's no censure for people who don't perform. You do not get fired.
So
it's as simple as you can't take, the government will not take on the public service in any meaningful form because there's 600,000 votes in it. That's the harsh reality. Fianna Fáil are about staying in power above all else, and I don't see it being much different with the so-called opposition.
Well, this time round, maybe now, if they are to be taken on, as you say, maybe now is the time to do it because Fianna Fáil aren't looking too healthy for the next time round, so maybe this is an opportunity.
I mean, Pat Roberts and Eamon Gilmore, leader of Labour, the most popular leader of all at the moment, according to polls, and Enda Kenny have all signed up to the Croke Park Agreement. That's the reality of it. That means no redundancies, compulsory redundancies, and no dropping in wages or salaries for any public service. That is what they've agreed to. Now, if Labour and Fine Gael have both agreed to that, and they've agreed also to actually meet the 2014 target to get our budget deficit down, well, then the figures simply can't add up. It can't be done. It's not possible.
Okay.
Why are we protecting? Why is it that, you know, the 500,000 people, and particularly those at the top who've proven that they cannot do their jobs, I would much prefer to reward people on the front line, like the teachers, the nurses, the doctors, or the sort of the Gardaí and people like that. I'd much prefer to reward them for the amount of grief they've to put up with and the amount of hours they've put in and the conditions which I wonder which they work, than a lot of mandarins in towers whose names you can never get, whose job descriptions aren't made public, you know, who don't have any accountability, i.e., if you don't achieve this, you're fired. That's the only... That never happens.
Okay.
So
okay.
How can you run an organisation based on those, on along those lines? It's a, look, I'll be happy if they all stay in their jobs, but the bottom line is we've got to cut 25% from the public wage bill. Full stop, end of story. That has to happen. And it will happen. And either we're going to do it as a nation, or the IMF will come in here and they'll do it for us.
Okay.
Now, either... You know, at the turn of when we got our independence in 1922, there was some British wag at the time famously said, you know what, I don't think the Irish will be capable of running their country. And it really galls me to have to say it, but you know what? I'm kind of beginning to look that maybe they were right.
Okay, Eamon, I'll tell you what, before we go, and I just want to give you a little opportunity to talk about your business venture that you're on the dole at the moment. You're trying to get off your own arse and do something about
yes.
it. It's called cringefactor.com.
Cringefactor.com, and we launched it just after 2 years. And no money, and we got very little assistance. Enterprise Ireland gave us a bit of a hand in a feasibility study to the tune of $5,000. But other than that, we have got nothing other than putting together a really good team of people.
Okay,
what is it? Waterford could do for us, right? It's a personal development website. And what the whole idea is that what type of person you are, any psychologist could tell you that, but it's the type of person that you appear to your friends to be, what really matters is whether you get on in life. So this actually gives the opportunity of your friends, which you choose, to actually give you feedback about you anonymously. And at the moment, we're testing the site, we're testing it, make sure everything works properly. And I would be seriously indebted to all the people who listen to your station and in Waterford generally, if they would go on to cringefactor.com and just log in there, have a go at it, and just give us some feedback. Send us an email and tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, how we could make it better. Because if they did that, that would help us so, so much in terms of actually getting the business off the ground and actually being able to sell the product in the next, hopefully, like 6 weeks or so. It's only going to be $14.95 when it's for real. But at the moment, it's free. And anybody can go on, log in there, get a bit of an opinion on their mates. And it is, we have a very eminent psychologist and psychiatrist, Dr. Mark Goulston from the United States, is the guy who writes all the tests, writes all the answers, does all that sort of stuff. So it is, although it's a little bit of fun, it's very, very serious stuff, and it is real, genuine feedback from an eminent psychiatrist, and he was Psychiatrist of the Year, there's such a thing in America, in 2009, 2010, from the American Psychiatry Association. So this is not just a game, this is about you, and it's real stuff, and it's anonymous.
Okay.
So you can get to know how your friends perceive you, and that will help you, and every report you get back then about you will be totally anonymous. Your friends will never, you'll never see your friends' answers, but you will get how they feel about how you are.
Okay.
And
cool.
cringefactor.com is the name of the site, and I'd really appreciate if anybody would log in there and give it a hand.
Okay, Eamon Blaney from the Sunday Independent and cringefactor.com. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Talk to you again soon. Thanks.
You're Eamon. The man, Ian. Thank you very much.